the freedom to take this entire day and let's reconnect. Remember to see through things through my eyes. And remember that I haven't given you too much to do. You know, rest in quietness and trust is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your salvation. That is where your strength comes from. So he's telling us, you don't have to live the way the rest of the world does. Now, the rest of his agenda is not really easy a whole lot either. I know his yoke is easy and it burns his life, but, you know. but, you know, I mean, the thing is God's way is tough, but it's also doable, and it's not hard when we do it his way and we allow him to do it his way. It's tough when we fight. That's when it's hard. And I don't mean to, we all go through hard places and suffering and all this kind of, I'm not trying to make light of that because that is part of our journey as well. But when we can trust in him and move through life the way he asks us, it is much better. So there are three aspects of Sabbath that we think are really important if you're going to have a biblical Sabbath. And the first one is actually rest, reflection, and renewal. So those three things. We're just going to talk a little bit about each one of those. The rest, the first part of rest is that we need to keep in mind that we are not the center of the world. You know, that we are part of God's story, and we are a little part, each one of us. Each one of us plays a tiny, tiny part in God's story. He's got the whole thing. He's in control. We're not. When we do it his way, the pieces all work much better. The puzzle, the picture looks much better. We're not at the center. We are not irreplaceable. You know, God will get the things that he wants done, and usually much better when we don't try to mess with. Usually if we don't have time for the Sabbath, and if we don't have time in any day to get things done, we're just doing somebody else's job. You know, we're doing somebody else's work. So it really becomes a matter of prioritization. But, you know, we heard a little new twist on rest a few years ago that really resonated with us. And I hadn't thought about this before, but, you know, God, in creation, man was created on the seventh day. And seventh day, thank you. So man was created on the sixth day. And in my mind, you know, I always thought a biblical Sabbath was because God worked for 6 days, and one day he rested, which is true. He did. But for man, we were created on day six. So what was our very first thing that to do? Rest. Day seven was rest. So we began our work out of our rest. So we didn't work 6 days and then rest. Our first action as a human being was to rest, get that rest, and then work out of our rest. And if we can reorient our life so that we are working from our rest, life is so much better in so many different ways. It's just totally different. Pete Scazzaro, who we read a lot of, use a lot of his stuff. We do a lot of life coaching, and Pete Scazzaro's stuff is really important. He does his whole ministry is emotionally healthy spirituality. He does a lot of below the waterline stuff, and he says, I'm going to read you his quote. He says, the problem with too many leaders is that we allow our work to trespass on every other area of life, disrupting the balanced rhythm of work and rest that God created for our own good. Sabbath is a 24-hour block of time in which we stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight. Don't you love that? Practice delight. And contemplate God. Number one, stop. Sabbath is first and foremost a day when we cease all work, paid and unpaid. And it doesn't mean that you can't do things, but he's talking about work, stuff that is work to us. On the Sabbath, we embrace our limits. We let go of the illusion that we are indispensable to the running of the world. We recognize that we will never finish all our goals and projects, and that God is on the throne, managing quite well and ruling the universe without our help. And in rest, once we stop, we accept God's invitation to rest. And it really is an invitation. It's a command, but it's also an invitation. And, you know, with our family, so we read this, we read this book, we started studying the Sabbath, and we started doing a lot of things differently. And I know that we finally got to a place to where our kids, you know, we would try to, by Saturday, we'd try to have homework done, we'd try to have our work done, and we would actually, I mean, we started doing all kinds of things. I mean, I started making like junk coffee cake on Sunday mornings, only that one day a week, you know, so Sunday school teachers weren't real crazy about it, but, you know, we would have coffee cake on Sunday morning to this day. When our kids come home, it's like, what kind of coffee cake are you going to make tomorrow morning? You know, and no, coffee cake is on Sunday morning because we actually have a really healthy lifestyle, but on Sunday morning, we have coffee cake, and it's something to really look forward to. So we did that. We had all the homework done so that Sunday really could be a day of rest. We didn't feel stressed over it. You know, we just kind of forget the things that didn't get done. They didn't get done, you know, until Sunday evening. But it made a really big difference. And I will say that the amount of rest that we get to is really important. Sleep, there's been tons of research now. There wasn't years ago, but now we see it. In fact, Roy and I both got Fitbits over a year ago. We're really good at exercising. We love to, you know, go out and do that kind of stuff. We're very active, but we're not good sleepers. And I trained myself in college to do horrible things like, you know, get by on 4 hours sleep so I could fully party, fully work and make good grades, you know. So, but, you know, that is not a very healthy thing to do. So now we really watch, you know, research says as adults, unless you're very unusual, and I don't know any that really have not needed this, but we need 7 to 8 hours sleep a night. So we really need to work on that. And when we're not getting that, we're really testing God's limits and not doing well. And I'll tell you, the next slide shows you something. When we are not living within God's boundaries, God tends to give us opportunities to live within those boundaries. And if we don't do it on our own way, there are times when God helps us to make the right choices. And, you know, I said, after our kids graduated from both, when they both launched, for 4 years in college, our younger son was at the Air Force Academy, and so we had students, we had cadets for 5 years. We had cadets all the time at our house. And 3 years ago, he graduated from the Air Force Academy, and then we didn't have so many cadets, and then we would always make them a priority on weekends. But when they launched, so 2.5 years ago, our lives became loony again, because we love what we do. So we just started working all the time. And so anyway, I just, out of the blue, we were walking home from something in our community. I passed out. Long story short, I fainted because I was dehydrated, which I should know better. We live at 9,000 feet, just above Colorado Springs. And anyway, I was dehydrated. Roy didn't know what it was because we're both really healthy. And he said, no, this could be something else. And he didn't know I was dehydrated. So we went to the emergency room. And anyway, the doctor, we have an emergency room that does like overkill and testing and stuff. Somebody comes in there and, you know, you get this battery of tests on everything in the world. And they did that. And the doctor comes back with this like horrible look on their face 3 hours. This is like 1 o'clock in the morning by this time. And says, we're going to send you down to Colorado Springs, the hospital, because there's a really large mass in your brain. And there is no, he said, you know, that kind of mass, I can't say for sure it's cancer, but it's cancer. So they spent 3 days trying to figure out what this cancer was in my head. And anyway, and so, you know, we're looking at a tumor that big, you know, it's like my life is going to be pretty short probably. But anyway, long story short, God wrote this for all of our staff. We have about 115 people that work across the country working with churches with us. And it was a thing called 12 miracles because it really was 12 miracles. But God got me on my back. I mean, it ended up being a benign hemangioma. There was a neurosurgeon on the floor that wasn't taking new patients, that wasn't even supposed to be there that day, that wandered into our room because he heard this little story about that this couple in this room in there, she's got this cancerous tumor, and they think they're going to go to Africa in 3 weeks. You know, and so it was kind of a big joke, and he wandered in and started talking to us. But anyway, there were all these things. It's amazing. But all these things, but basically God got me to a place where he got my attention. And so they took out this this hemangioma. I actually have a 2-inch titanium plate now in my hand. But took it out, and I was in a place where he looked at me eye to eye, and he said, I talked to you enough before the surgery, and he told me this before the surgery. He said, it is absolutely critical, he said, for you to rest. You need to be quiet, no visitors, 8 days. Rest. On your back, no work, no anything. Rest. And he said, if you do not, and he went into this long lecture about how our bodies heal when we rest. And he said, if you do not, in the future, you will fail to think for a living. So it was pretty serious as far as I was concerned. So anyway, it was pretty amazing. I did rest. I thought a lot. I really, there were all sorts of really cool things. I just felt like God was speaking to me during those times. But it really was a time of rest. It was a time of Sabbath for me, an extended Sabbath. And it really, there were some things that God spoke very clearly in the area of Sabbath about. We had to actually get straight on that. What part of the miracle was, the healing went so fast. I actually, 2 weeks and 6 days later, we were on a plane to Africa. And, you know, it was pretty amazing. But the doctor said, it will take 6 months for your brain to kind of get back into its normal position. So you're going to have to continue to be careful. So you're going to have to get rest. You're going to have to do that. And I had actually three doctors tell me that. So we went to Africa, and the last time we had gone, that was our second trip there. We went to Kenya, Uganda, and Madagascar, and we have church stuff over there that we were resourcing, doing a lot of stuff with churches there. And we told our staff that the last time we had been, our day started at 4 o'clock in the morning. You'd get up because the roads are so bad, it takes so long to get places. So we would start at 4 o'clock in the morning. We would get back at 8 o'clock at night, go in, and fix the dinner, and it just, you know, the day would end at 10 o'clock, and that's, you know, when you started getting ready for bed, and then you were out the door at 4 o'clock the next morning again. That had lasted for almost a month, the trip before, and we thought, oh, we can't do life that this time. And so we told each one of our country leaders, we said, you know, Margaret's had this little head issue, and we have got to have rest, you know, and it was critical, and Roy knew it too, and we related that to them. So we actually... Well, lights out. Anyway, so we told them, and we have to have rest. We need to have time to sleep at night. And we, you know, if we are teaching or leading on Sunday or something, then on Monday or Saturday, sometime in there, we got to have some downtime. You know, God has convicted us about Sabbath, and we want to have a Sabbath. Well, I just want to tell you that the Africa trip was probably, in retrospect, probably the most fruitful trip we've ever gone overseas. We worked less. It was an easy trip. I cannot believe it. I really cannot believe it. Not that I don't trust God, but we saw God show up in ways. It was just incredible. And, you know, the things, our agenda went out the window several times and stuff that we prepared, and God had something else for us. And we shared and talked. We did all kinds of things. But it literally, we came back and talked to our overall Africa country leader, and you know, he was very affirming. And Roy and I realized that it really had been the least work we've ever done, and probably the most productive we've ever done. And it really was all about staying in God's rhythm and letting God do His work, and us just do our work and not try to do His work. So Roy's going to talk to you a little bit about reflection.
So the first area was rest. Second one is reflection. And, you know, after you've been married 37 years, you understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. So Margaret somehow always manages to get me to do the parts that I'm the weakest in. So I'm going to talk about reflection, even though that is
one. I have to talk about rest.
Okay, all right. So anyway, that's not really one of my strengths. We have a friend on our team that calls that a non-strength. He doesn't like to use the word weakness. It's a weakness. I'm not really good at it, but it's incredibly helpful for us to take some time to reflect. We really want to spend some time in quietness. Reflection really helps us to know God and know ourselves better. And then this whole idea of silence. And we can just get to know God better and know ourselves better when we spend this time just reflecting, looking back on the week. What does it help? It's one of the big benefits of journaling. If you're not a journaler, I'd really encourage you to consider doing that, because it's a way that we can look for patterns and things that God repeats to us more than once. So really want to commend this whole practice of reflection to you. We have a good friend who's a seasoned navigator. He's probably in his 80s. His name is Skip Gray. And he says that on the baggage carousel of life, not every suitcase has your name on it. So don't grab suitcases that aren't yours. You know, and that takes reflection to be able to do that, to focus on the things that God really wants us to do. And there's lots of suitcases that look alike. If you travel much at all, you know that almost every suitcase is either blue or black. But then you see this neon green one here, and it really stands out. So that's what we want to be looking for by reflecting. We want to be hearing from God. Okay, what is it that you want me to pick up? What work do you want me to do? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And that ought to be one of our motivators in everything we do. The famous theologian Ziggy says that there's a reason God called us human beings and not human doings. So think about the whole idea of just being before God. Pete Scazzaro, that Margaret referred to before, says, "We are not doing machines, but deeply loved sons and daughters of God, whom he doesn't want to use, but rather to enjoy and to be enjoyed by." Anybody know what this pottery is right here? Actually, it's done right at the top. Raku. So, raku is probably one of the most beautiful forms of pottery that there is. And, you know, for many years, I just admired it as something pretty, and I thought, oh, how do they do the glaze like that all differently? And then somebody stopped to explain the whole process to me. And basically, the potter forms whatever piece that might be. In this case, it's a vase. And they heat it in a kiln to almost 3,000 degrees. That's about as hot as you can get something to be. And then right next to the kiln, they have this thing called a reduction barrel. And it is filled with trash and wood and seaweed and, you know, all sorts of junk. And the potter takes a pair of iron tongs, and he picks up this pot, and he plunges it into the reduction barrel. So it's at its very hottest, and then he throws it in among all this trash. And that's actually what makes the color. It is not the glaze. There is no glaze involved. It is all those things working together, the intense heat and the trash. And we can see the picture here between the tough things that we're put under sometimes and the trash that we go through. But out of that, God can create great beauty if we take the time to reflect on that. So the next time you see a picture of raku pottery or you think that you're in a really tough situation, just think about the great beauty that God can produce out of that if we're willing to take the time to reflect. One other verse that I just love is that the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So practice that silence and that stillness and that reflection so that you can hear God speak to you in those ways.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the third area, that renewal. So renewal, and I will tell you, the way that these look and the way that they're lived out in each one of our lives is a little different. So, you know, you hear stories of us, or you may talk about, you know, to others. But you kind of have to figure it out for you. You know, the way you rest is different. The way you reflect is a little different than the way, and renewal is the same way. And renewal is very different for each one of us. There's not any one way that everybody renews, except for that it is really important that renewal be in the Lord, you know, that it really be of the Lord and in the Lord. I love the scripture in Psalms. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And you know, when we are like on Sundays when we worship and we are really spending time focusing on the Lord, you know, our joy is really restored, and that does renew. So weekly we can be restored in the Lord and renewed and refreshed, but there are other ways that we can think of too that I think are very helpful to refresh us. So like keeping the Sabbath alone, one of the things that I think is probably most, and it really, it, all these kind of work together, but you know, when we really turn our attention to God and we think about who he is in worship, whether it's singing songs, reading things, or just contemplating who God is, any time that we really see the face of God, we are really in tune. You know how sometimes you just feel, gosh, you just feel his presence so strongly. It is almost impossible not to feel the reflection back and to feel all that he is and all that we're not. You know, it is a natural response to who God is because he is so incredible and so great, and we are so not so great and so incredible. And you know, it very easily comes back to, you know, all of a sudden when we look into him, we see our failures. We see things that we have not done well. We see areas of our life that we want to be better. And confession comes out of that. And confession is such a cleansing thing to really embrace God's forgiveness. And that's part of this whole renewal and refreshment route, is really we worship him. We realize, wow, gosh, I really have some failures here. I have some sin in my life. Repent, return away from that. sin and all kinds of things like that. That's a whole other topic. But boy, when we are trying to be somebody we're not or do things that we're not supposed to, it takes so much energy. You know, even just thinking about it, there's no way you can't. When you are on a wrong path, it takes energy. It just comes back. I mean, we think about it, that guilt, shame, all of those things takes lots of energy. When we can get rid of that, we have so much more energy. So that whole worship is a big part in that. So reflection leads to repentance, community, time with other people in the body that are life-giving. And that's really important, especially for people who are leading other people. You'll have people that are in your ministry, in your classes, in your small groups, all kinds of things. That there's really kind of two kinds that we end up having in groups. Some are life-giving and some are life-taking. You know, some people just, I hate to say this, but they kind of suck the life out of you. You know, some people, they're needy, and I'm not saying we shouldn't minister to them, because we do need to minister to them, but you need to have boundaries. And in terms of the Sabbath, in a Sabbath rest, you need to put in good boundaries so that your relationships are life-giving, so that you do go into the week rested and renewed and refreshed. Personal time with God. I love, we have an earlier service in our church, probably just you. I know you probably have multiple services too, but we do too. We go to the last service on Sunday morning, and Roy, that's something that Roy grants to me because he would probably prefer, I know, would prefer to go to the earlier service. But it's the one morning that there is usually no demands on my time until we go.
Except for coffee cake.
Yeah, except for And my mom lives with us, and she makes it usually now. So, but, you know, I love to just get up on Sunday morning, get my cup of coffee, and spend a couple of hours just in personal time with God. I love to start like that. It's just, normally I don't have the, I just don't have the time to spend 2 hours every day. But on Sundays, usually I do, and it's just awesome. You know, I can go a little deeper, a little longer, just spend extra really good time with them. That's a great way. And to play and enjoy. Ecclesiastes, and I'm not going to read the scriptures, you guys can look them up later, but Ecclesiastes 3:13 says that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. So he wants us to have play and enjoy life. It is his, you know, the eating and the drinking, there's so much of that all through the Bible. We're foodies, I don't even want to go there, but, you know, I'll tell you, if God has us, he really wants us to enjoy this life, this time that he's given us on earth. And in fact, you know, Pete Scazzaro again, I love what he says he says that the Greek fathers, so centuries ago, when the Greek fathers, they had this word for the Trinity, and they called it periokeresis. And what that actually means is dancing around. And I don't know, everybody had sort of different opinions in the book, The Shack, the movie's coming out pretty soon. And there were people that felt very strongly that it is not like super biblical in the way they did some things, that I would agree to that, that is for sure. But I'll tell you, there were some things I really enjoyed about The Shack. And the one thing that I really did enjoy was the way that the Trinity, the interaction that the three characters had that played the Trinity. And I think we miss out a lot on really understanding how much God, the delight of God, just even in the Trinity, and we're to mirror that, we're to model, you know, to model that, we're to be a part of that. So, you know, I think that periokeresis is kind of a cool thing, that dancing around. And he says, Pete Scazzaro says that creation life are, in a sense, God's gift of a playground to us. Play is something that Christians don't do a very good job of, for the most part. And most people kind of see that, and they think that Christians are kind of boring a lot. So the next slide is talking about play. And these are all kinds of ways that we play. And you have to think about how you play and what you enjoy being renewed. But like when our kids were little, when we had kids who were young, like your age, We had this was a suggestion that was that the mains did, and we still actually have it because when we have friends who have kids over, we take it out. Anyway, we had, and we've updated it a little bit, though, because we had videotapes then. But but we had Sabbath box for years, even into the teenagers, that we put our favorite family things in that box, and we only did them on Sundays. You know, we didn't have time really to do them the rest of the week anyway. But we had games, we had movies, you know, and we just did age-appropriate things through the years that only could be done on Sundays. So we always made, and it was when they were little, it was the Sabbath box. You know, there was just all kinds of fun stuff. They couldn't wait to get the Sabbath box out. After church on Sunday, we got the Sabbath box out. So anyway, that was at that point in time. But now, you know, we're foodies. We love to cook together. That's energizing to us. You know, we were with both of our sons over the Christmas holidays, and we spent 4 days making these incredible recipes together. We just kind of, like, follow their directions now. But that was extremely, it was extremely energizing to us. We just had such a great time. Taking a walk or a hike, playing tennis, go for a drive. Really, what is play for you? And I want you to just think, just for about 1 minute, just think about what is play for you. Just jot something down. What is play for you? What is energizing to you? And then I want you to think, do a little more thinking. And I want you to answer the question, what are the major hindrances to my having a good Sabbath each week? And what ways can I overcome these? So spend just a couple of minutes thinking about what is it that keeps me from having a good Sabbath each week? And maybe it's just one thing. How can I overcome that?
At your tables, if you want to take just a minute and share with each other an idea of a way that you came to overcome the hindrance. So rather than dwell on the hindrance, talk about the overcoming. And if you can't come up with anything, maybe somebody at your table will have an idea for you.
And it works with the kids well.
I mean, it does.
Okay, you may not be quite finished yet, but we're going to give you a little time right at the very end here just to think one more time about how you can impact your Sabbath. The last thing that we want to talk about is this whole idea of that the Sabbath is part of a greater rhythm of life. And it's really better kept that way. So it's not just the one day that we do things right or take that time away. But we want to build that into a greater pattern. So there's a little bit, four pairs of words that some friends of ours shared with us a number of years ago. This is another navigator staff. Again, they're in their 80s. We have lots of navigator staff who live into their 80s. I think they might be doing something right. Actually, the oldest living navigator turned 103 in October, so it's pretty crazy. But these four pairs of words are really helpful. I'm going to tell you what they all are, and then I'll unpack them. So the first one is divert daily, withdraw weekly, meditate monthly, and abandon annually. So the idea behind this is divert daily is basically our quiet time that we spend each day with the Lord devotionally, just spending time in His Word, hearing from Him. But then if we take a little extra time, like Margaret was talking about that 2 hours on Sunday morning, that's what works for her. It might not work at all for you if you're volunteering at the church on Sunday or whatever. But take a little extra time to withdraw and say, okay, Lord, what are the messages that you're speaking to me this whole week? Is there some consistency in that message? Is there something you have for me? Meditate monthly. We like to take a half a day or even a full day away just to spend that time praying and seeking God, hearing from Him, reviewing our journals, that sort of thing. And then the last one is to abandon annually. And that can be a vacation where you have an extra special time of time with the Lord during that, or it could just be 2 or 3 days where you take a chunk of time away. So I really want to encourage you to think about some kind of pattern like that. And as parents of 3 boys under 5 years old, you're probably rolling your eyes and thinking, like, what is this guy thinking about? But, you know, one thing you could do is give each other a day where you take the boys for the whole day and she has the time off, or vice versa. There are ways to do it. You know, there are neighbors, there are friends at church that have the same issues. So trade kids. You know, don't hesitate to do that.
I just said trade off. Yeah. We did that a lot.
So what I'd like for you to do now is on your little Sabbath prescription pad there, make sure everybody takes one of those with you, but take a minute and think to yourself about what kind of Sabbath you'd like to have this week and what's your plan for making that happen. And then do you need to do something major to reshape your life around a God rhythm? And write that on the pad, and then I'd encourage you to share it with somebody else at the table as a means of accountability.
So we're going to give you just about, it's 2 minutes after 9, so we're going to give you a couple minutes to do that, and then we're going to wrap up. So, but just put something that you can do in the next 7 or 8 days. So this is like right now. Because if you don't do something in the next 7 or 8 days, it won't happen.
So again, you might not have quite enough time to fill out your prescription, but I encourage you to take those pads back with you and give it some thought. What we've really thought about as we've thought about Sabbath is it's really a matter of trust. And do we trust God enough that He can actually use us to accomplish what He wants in 6 days and honor His plan for a seventh day? We love Psalm 94 and 12 and 17 where it says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So God's grace and love and power. In John 3:15 it says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength." And so really the question is the prescription his or ours? And we really want to make it his. We want to encourage you to practice that sound. So as you leave, I encourage you to reflect on these things. You know, if you have time, some time later in the evening, you're welcome to stay, but, you know, obviously the next workshop too, but just take some, you know, a minute during the weekend and reflect on that prescription pad and write yourself a prescription, giving yourself permission to practice this out. Thanks.
I'm the opposite.